Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsintiaan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
So we're back with Rural Medicine and continuing our series on quality and healthcare leadership with our special guest, Dr. Ray Markham, a rural family physician based in Valmount and a leader in improving quality of rural healthcare services in BC through the Rural Coordination Centre of BC. We covered so much good stuff with Ray that we split the interview into two, and this is the second half of the interview.
So let's turn to some of your provincial leadership work now, if that's okay, Ray.
Sure.
You're very active on the provincial stage, working with the Rural Coordination Centre of BC. Can you explain what this organization does and a little about its mandate, please?
So, yeah, thanks, Lee. The Rural Coordination Centre, although it has an organizational face, is actually intentionally built as a network. And so I'll touch base on that as we go forward. It is really about improving the health of rural patients and communities. It brings a rural physician perspective to that work. But one of the things, as we were talking about earlier, is one of the things you learn in rural pretty early on is you need to work in a team, and a rural physician perspective is one part of kind of what you need to get to be looking at improving the health of rural patients and communities. And so although we do bring a rural physician perspective to the work, it is interdisciplinary. We support kind of really kind of much more of a team-based, broader engagement process, which I think we'll get into as we go. We are kind of supported through the Joint Standing Committee on Rural Issues, which is a group that is through the Physician Master Agreement, which is the negotiation between the Doctors of BC and the Ministry of Health. Every year from around 2000, there's been what's called a rural subsidiary agreement to that negotiation, which looks at rural health. And out of that flows funding to the Joint Standing Committee of Rural Issues, which is really about improving recruitment and retention of physicians in rural British Columbia. The Rural Coordination Centre of BC was formed way before my time, under the leadership of Dr. Granger Avery, and supported out of the Joint Standing Committee and a donation from a physician, actually, that started the work off. And really is, as I say, looking at that, improving the health of rural communities, and how do we bring a rural physician perspective to that. We are also kind of somewhat funded directly now through some ministry activities and through Michael Smith Health Research Foundation for some of our pieces. We really operate around looking at gaps and overlaps is one of the phrases we'll kind of talk a lot about. So really, the coordination function is actually where there are overlaps, actually bringing people together so that we're not tripping over each other. And where there are gaps, we may actually end up doing kind of project pieces and work. Really value relationship as a primary driver of system change. And so kind of being able to connect people with each other and kind of connect as human beings is a super important piece. Feedback loops is another piece of work that we really try, another part of how we do what we do. So that idea of, and again, in the quality world, that's fundamentally kind of a quality improvement feedback without it being a loop. And so there's a bit of a trick to having a receptor site for that feedback and then having it change what we're doing. And so that's actually a lot of our focus of work is firstly making sure the feedback itself is appropriate and kind of pointed the right direction, and then also helping to kind of move that feedback into action. If you can were to back that up the organizational side of things, we are involved in a number of activities, and I won't go through, I can share a bubble diagram of kind of all of our activities, but we do some projects on behalf of the JSC and for the JSC. We support a lot of education in the province from the care course. We fund a lot of stuff through UBC Rural Continuing Professional Development. So the house course, we do a quality for rural BC, kind of a number of activities like that. And again, happy to go through those if there's anything specific. And we also kind of look at advocating for improving the health of rural patients and communities. And we don't advocate for rural physicians. But we do advocate kind of where there's looking at influencing or shaping policy around improving rural health. We participate and advocate in that role. And then the last function, really struggle to frame it in a way that's not kind of corny, but it's kind of that idea of innovation or think tank of curiosity, I would say is probably the best word for it. So actually trying things out, looking, experimenting, seeing what works, and being prepared to fail if you need to fail, fail early and kind of move on to other things. And so that idea of testing out new ideas, a lot of the way that we do kind of explore areas of focus and priorities is using a process called appreciative inquiry, which when I first got it, I thought, oh yeah, here we go, the power of positive thinking. I can be everything that I want to be, and working in this kind of imaginary kind of world. That is not another way of framing it. Appreciative inquiry is about what appreciative inquiry is about is very much about in any situation there's something that's working well, and so in any situation you can look at what's not working, and the evidence is you're going to spiral around the problem, or you can look at what's working well and figure out how you want more of that. And so there's a bit of a process to doing that, and that's been one of the things that we found super helpful. And then one of the other tools that we've used, and I think we will touch on it again, is the idea of if you're looking at improving the health of rural patients and communities, who decides what that is and what's important. And so this idea of a partnership approach, and making it socially accountable, not in a really in the terms of meeting society's needs. So defining and meeting society's needs, kind of, I know social accountability has a bunch of other frames, but that's kind of fundamentally the frame is really pragmatically meeting society's needs.
That paints such a great picture. Thanks. Especially that, like the appreciative inquiry, that approach, holding that up in the relationships and partnerships. So thank you. Like the geography and topology of BC, its rural communities are very diverse. How does that affect the approach and the work of RCC BC?
Yeah, one of our phrases, which is we attribute to Carl Whiteside. I think Carl attributes it to somebody in the Society of Rural Physicians. But this idea of when you've seen one rural community, you've seen one rural community, and so kind of this idea of each rural community is unique, and that doesn't mean that there's no way of systematizing solutions. But it does mean you need to be very careful and be connected to the ground on anything that you're doing, particularly at a systems level, in a way that making sure that when it lands, it's going to land in a way that's appropriate in those contexts, or at least. So some of the system kind of things that you can look at doing is making sure that there is flexibility to adapt to circumstances, that things aren't so rigidly locked down, that local communities can't figure out actually a way to do the best they can with what they have, with whatever kind of that is in a systems approach. Kind of another piece of it is actually the relationships, and actually getting out to rural communities is a super important part of what we do, particularly kind of with our provincial leaders. So I know a friend and colleague, Dr. John Paulovich, has done an amazing job in taking people out to community. And that actually does shift perspective, I think, for people when you see something on a map and then you actually sit in a vehicle and drive on a dirt road for hours and hours, and then you realize actually that maybe there are other ways other than saying to a patient, you need to travel, for a 10-minute appointment just so I can go over the results with you. So those are the kind of things I think that can be done at a system level to kind of look at that. The other thing that I'll say is geography and weather are often seen as barriers to the way that care is delivered, but that's only if care is delivered in a traditional way. So they also are levers and disruptors for the way that care could be delivered, a way of doing things differently. So Bob Woodward would say innovation occurs at the edge. So that's, I guess, what I'm trying to say is kind of in some ways, there's a lot of connotation around edge, but this idea of kind of being at the edge of the system, that's where innovation is going to happen. And so recognizing and seeing, and I think that is a lot of times in rural communities, looking and seeing what is done, what can be done, and then how can that scale is one of the benefits, I think, of that diversity that's kind of there in rural communities.
Well, thanks for that. And I wonder if we could switch now to just go back a little bit to talk about some of the work you've done with building that infrastructure and capacity for improving quality in rural BC. And you mentioned about that community partnership approach. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that infrastructure that you've set up there.
Yeah, it has been a long, it's been kind of years in the making, and it really is about system improvement and creating kind of those feedback loops. And so I've been a bit of a fan of Chuck Friedman's work on learning health systems, because he would articulate any learning health cycle, PDSA kind of learning cycle that you have, But he also thinks about the platforms. So what's around that to support those processes to happen? So, if you're going to look at studying something, what are you, or changing something, firstly, how do you what you can do? And so he would talk about a learning community being kind of the group that does that. And so we largely through our connection through Dr. Bob Willard, Professor Bob Willard, who's part of the RCC and kind of has been involved through some of the WHO work around the development of the partnership pentagram, which is a model that's accepted for social education across Canada and all the medical schools anyway. Looked at that model of thinking about how do we think about social economical health system change. And so we've taken that model and adapted it. So the partnership pentagram would be policymakers, health administrators, providers, citizens, particularly those less well served by the community, and academia. And that includes educators, researchers, learners, and people involved in knowledge translation activities. And so this idea of getting them simultaneously around a table to be in dialogue, I think what we talked about earlier is this idea of what is the rock we want to move together. So we kind of come around and firstly figure out what that rock is and what piece we want to shift the system. And that's a dialogic process. We will use appreciative inquiry often to kind of help us kind of get to that place. And so that would be a learning community say, okay, well, this is something we want to shift and change. And then you go through the data, information, knowledge piece. So actually, what is our current state? Ideally, that's what you want to do. And we still have a long way to go in British Columbia to do that. So really think about the platforms that sit behind that. So how do we integrate data? How do we kind of make sure data is kind of secure and appropriately used? But how do we make sure that it's actually accurate and reflective? One of the things that we've learned in rural is this idea of a disaggregated data approach is super, super important. Because it's particularly the small rural communities, and particularly those less well served, like our First Nations communities, they get lost in provincial data. And so making sure that you're able to disaggregate the data and actually look at how they're kind of faring as opposed to the whole system, making sure that those communities have a voice and are actually shaping what is important to them and what kind of that data means is super important. And then so you move up this data to information to knowledge kind of hierarchy, if you like. And then you get to, okay, well, this is our baseline, and this is what it's kind of showed us with what we had an intervention, and this is what it's shown that change has happened or whatever. So how do you interpret what that change means? And so this is another place where the learning community would come in to sit and think, okay, so we started at this point, we decided we did this activity, and it's caused this change. What does it mean? What are we going to do next? And so that idea of that learning community again coming down in that function. And then you move through a communication, next step, communication phase, kind of, and then we back into that bottom of starting something new and then kind of implementing and seeing how it goes. And so really interested in building those platforms. And so I guess I'll take the learning community, which I mean, we can talk about platforms for all of those pieces, and we are trying to do work in all of that area. But for that learning health community around, is what we're doing really going to serve the needs of our community?
Yeah, and you talked. I'm not going to ask you. I mean, you talked about the idea of everyone getting together and moving a rock together. Can you give us an example, say, of that effectiveness? Maybe one of the rocks that you've tackled, maybe addressing the issues of perhaps access or cultural sensitivity, and how you involve patients actually in that, which sounds like patients are involved in this process.
So an example would be virtually enabled care. So it's evolved over the last few years, but in 2019, we held a provincial summit looking at kind of what areas would we highlight and see as most important to move and advance rural healthcare. And out of that, we identified virtual care at that stage. And I'll talk to that kind of in a bit more detail. Transport, kind of looking particularly at emergency kind of transport, interfacility transport, but also getting to and from appointments, as we've touched on a little bit earlier. Then cultural safety and humility. So kind of providing safer kind of environments, particularly for our First Nations and Indigenous patients, and then team-based care. So how do we actually get better at operating in teams? And through all of this has been, how do we create and support a community-driven kind of solutions approach to these things? So And we have been moving in all of those things. But I'll take the virtual care as an example. So kind of out of that, it's evolved into virtual enabled care. Now we're kind of talking about as hybrid care. So that's been the evolution. And kind of we developed in partnership. So we co-host a table with First Nations Health Authority called the Virtual Health and Wellness Collaborative for Rural BC, for First Nations in rural BC. And that's co-hosted by First Nations Health Authority and RCCBC. And out of that has come the real-time virtual supports family, which includes the work that HealthLink has done with physicians getting involved in HealthLink, First Nations Virtual Doctor of the Day, as a part of the family, as a direct patient services, and VSUPs, so the substance use supports and psychiatry services, and then the peer support pathways, which RCCBC has taken on, initially supported by the Joint Standing Committee and now directly supported through the ministry, which is basically. So the peer support pathways would basically be before geography and weather and time have limited the number of people you can have at the patient bedside when you need them. But currently now, within 20 seconds, you can push a button and you'll have an eMERGE doc or a pediatrician or somebody who has some maternity care and more recently, critical care and internal medicine kind of at the bedside, kind of by video. Supporting the work that you've done. And that's you kind of supporting you kind of providing care to that patient, you know. So you'll have, like in my community, when I'm on, so I was on call last night, I have one nurse and myself and maybe some paramedics, and maybe hopefully lab and x-ray. And you'll have a patient that'll walk into VGH, they'll have 20 people around them, kind of managing the care. But that same patient could walk into our emergency room. And so how do we look at expanding the team, recognizing that we can't have a trauma team in every little community? And so this is kind of one of the projects that has evolved, and it is very much a partnership kind of as a family in kind of the quality kind of approach that we're taking. We've over time shared resources across those pathways, just kind of looking at balancing need. And that all is that Virtual Health and Wellness Collaborative, which is a partnership Integram plus table that kind of sits and kind of helps steer the ship, if you like.
That's a great example. Thank you for that. And that's actually amazing work, right? That's groundbreaking and real pioneering work.
You know, it sounds like rural medicine in BC and in some ways is ahead of the curve in terms of co-creation of services. Where would you like to see this work go ultimately? And do you have a personal vision of what high quality rural healthcare in BC could look like?
Yeah, I guess I'll put a qualifier. I'm always wary about saying we're ahead of the curve because I think we do better in some things, and we have a lot to learn in some things, and we're always learning. So maybe that's actually where I would like to see things going because, you know, fundamentally, one of the things we learn from our Indigenous partners in our cultural safety journey is actually cultural humility is probably one of the first and most important things is actually recognizing and knowing what you don't know. And then kind of being curious and learning. And I think that's actually ultimately, if we could get to that place with a healthcare system where we're actually free to be curious, we're free to actually learn and recognize that we maybe haven't done something in a perfect way, but we can get better at it. And then also free to look and learn from other people, because that's often we have a culture in society that's that kind of individualistic society where you need to own something yourself. And if you don't own it and somebody else owns it, then actually you don't want to do that. You need to do your own thing. So I think if we could get to that place, I think that would be amazing. And I think we're never going to have like a panacea of absolutely everything. We're never going to have a cardiac cath lab in Vermont. And I don't think the patients in Vermont recognize it, they don't expect that. But I think we can get better at what we do. And that's, I think, the journey that we're on is if we can continually kind of allow people to get better. Part of that is safety. Part of that is actually being safe. And then another part of that is actually really to have some honest conversations around risk. Because we talk a lot about risk and trying to create a safe environment for our patients. But my sense is a lot of the risk conversations are not so much minimizing risk for patients. They minimize risk to us as providers. Minimize risk to the organizations. You know, I've always said I can give you hardware, no patient is ever harmed. Lock the doors, don't let anybody in, and no one will be. And I think in some ways, we have system forces that do that, even now, not intentionally, but because kind of we have a culture where it's actually not safe to kind of go out on the limb a little bit because to do the right thing. And so I think if we can get to a place in our health system and in a rural where actually it's safe to do that, where the decisions can be co-created, where those risk conversations can be honestly had, and those risk balancing conversations can be honestly had with our patients kind of leading the way in that, I think that would be an amazing system.
That's wonderful, and that's a great vision to finish off with there. And unfortunately, we'd like to be able to carry on talking, but we're limited by time. So that is actually all we have time for today. But it's been a wonderful conversation, Ray, and we've had so many great things coming out of that rural stable. But the closing music is coming, which means we have to wrap it up today. So thank you for coming on the show, Ray. You've shown us how rewarding rural practice can be, and how groundbreaking and innovative rural practice and rural communities can be. So thank you for sharing that. As a thank you for coming on the show, of course, we'll be sending you one of our special QualityCast North copy mugs. But for now, it's time to say goodbye here at QualityCast North. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.